S. I am not sure I can tell you because the lecture is being presented in mental concepts and images rather than in words. Some of the juxtapositions do not make any sense when you put them in words. It is quite strange. I think the best way to state it is that he is lecturing us on the malleability of the senses and how they can be fooled. To show us that you cannot depend on what your senses tell you. You must go by your intuitive feelings because your instincts are in tune with the basic heart throb of the universe and they will guide you through. Right now at this portion of the lecture the evidence he is presenting is to demonstrate how the senses can be deceived. For example, he is showing us different natural objects but they will be the wrong color and texture to show how the eyes can be fooled. Like, for example, blue, glittery ochre. Laugh, you know, things that are very bizarre. But he presents these visual images right next to other images to show how the nose and ears can be fooled. And so it is a very interesting lecture. They encourage us to use our IAT conversations with a spirit intuitive and psychic powers because it is much easier to develop them on this side. And the more you develop them here, the easier it is for them to break through when you are on the physical plane, so that you can use them there. Because the physical plane sets up a sort of barrier to them and makes it more difficult to get in touch with them. But if you have them highly developed before you return, you can get past that. D. Do you do things on that side according to what you feel you need? S. It's basically what stage you are at. It seems to me what you need is what you draw to you, and that is the way it works. It is drawn to you so you learn what you need to learn or experience what you need to experience, and that fulfills that need for developing. D. Then the ones who want to learn the more complicated things will naturally seek these out? S. Yes. The ones that seek out things to learn, the knowledge will be there for them. It comes to them in the order that they need it so they can make the best use of it. There are those that, even though they may think they want to learn, basically they do not and go around wondering why they make no progress. They always come up with various reasons to explain it. D. Of course, many people just want to go right back into a life again and don't want to learn anything. S. That is true. There are some unfortunate souls that insist on keeping themselves chained to the wheel of karma. But the more development you go through when you are on this side, the more it can liberate you from past causes. Then you can go on to bigger and better things so far as your karma is concerned. Does this make sense? D. To other people it probably wouldn't. But, yes, it makes sense to me. I am always trying to learn things anyway. S. Yes, you are like one of us. You are a learner, too. A scene describing preparatory events prior to returning to Earth. D. What are you doing? Planning and preparation. I81 S. D. S. D. S. D. S. I am with other spirit entities. There is a group of us gathered together. You could call it a sort of discussion and planning group. The majority of us here have been linked karmically in our past lives. There is one here who is our main guide for the group in general, and our individual guides are nearby. We are discussing and planning what karmic problems we will be working on during this next upcoming life, the one that this subject is currently living. And we are discussing and planning how our lives and our karmas will interweave and interrelate and what we hope to work out karmically. These are spirits that you will be associated with whenever you return to Earth. Yes. That's one thing that influences who you have karmic links with. Another thing that sometimes influences it, is if it is found that when two particular people are together they progress geometrically instead of arithmetically. When they are apart they progress at one particular rate, but when they are together it multiplies geometrically simply because of the way they interact with each other. Naturally it is encouraged that they continue to cross paths in future lifetimes so they can continue to progress together. My individual spirit guide will be with me throughout my next incarnation to help guide and protect me. As an extra insurance, I suppose you could call it, and as a friend to help connect with the spirit side of things when I am on the physical plane. Is there any way you will know whenever he is there? The spirit guide? One way to tell at least for this subject when I am incarnated is that my visual perception of things will change, to where everything will seem to sparkle. Even things of a solid color will seem to sparkle with intensive flashes of that color, as if the color that it is on the spiritual plane is peeping through. At those times my spirit guide will be especially close to me and we will be closely in harmony, to where my eyes begin to see things through his eyes. And there will be a particularly peaceful feeling involved, too. Will he have a name that you can call him? I'm not sure. He has been known by many names. I can contact him by sending out a mental call for him, calling for my spiritual friend. He says that is sufficient. He has a name. I 82 conversations with a spirit D.S.D.S.D.S.D.S., but he says that is not necessary. It might be difficult for me to remember it. So whenever you need help during this lifetime, you just ask for your spiritual friend and he will be able to advise you? Yes. He can give me advice either through directly speaking in my mind or by giving me emotions and feelings to go by, intuitions to guide me. He can also help things to come to pass by nudging them in certain directions. Some people wonder how you can know if it is really your guide speaking to you and not someone who would wish you harm. Do you know how to tell? It's hard to describe using this language. When it is your guide, there is a particular warm, tingling feeling in your heart, in your chest, and you seem to see this beautiful sparkling effect of everything too. It is a particular combination that cannot be duplicated. And the feelings you have that are associated with this are generally those of comfort and confidence and security. Whereas if it is a spirit entity trying to do you harm, the feelings that you have would be insecurity, fear, and perhaps anger. If you think of doing something that feels right, do it. And if you are thinking of doing something and you are not sure whether it would be right or when you start to do it you begin to tremble or feel fear, then wait a little bit and see if any other feelings come to you. If you wait, usually another feeling will come and you will say, "Yes, that is what I'm supposed to do." Sometimes it will be something quite a bit different than what you are fixing to do, and sometimes it will be only slightly different. But it will be the better course. I've also been told that when it is your real spirit guide, he will never try to make you do anything. No, never. They'll just say, "You have asked for my advice and this is what is your best course of action. But the choice is yours. If you prefer to do something else, then we will work with that choice of action instead." I have been told that if there is any kind of force involved or if someone tries to make you do something, then it is not for your own good. That is true. These concepts are one of the underlying structures of the universe. Planning and preparation. D. Do you have other guides that will be helping you? S. Yes. He is the main one that will be in particularly close contact with me. There are others who are concerned with my progress, as they are concerned with the progress of others, also. And there are a group of guides that are concerned with our particular progress as a group. We have been linked karmically in the past many times and you might say we are progressing together as a group while each of us individually get used to things that we need to develop. D. Where you are right now, is it a certain place? S. No, no particular place. We are just here, gathered in close proximity. Since we are all in the spiritual form, you could say that we are floating here. It is on a different plane, but I am not really sure which plane it is. Everything is very peaceful here and conducive towards thinking and planning. The one that will fulfill the role of my mother on the physical plane is here. These planning conferences are kind of rare, and when an opportunity comes to have them, we do. Because usually one or the other in the group is on the earthly plane. But occasionally it overlaps to where all of us are on the spiritual plane at the same time, and we get together to coordinate things, so to speak. D. Yes, I suppose it makes it more difficult if someone has already returned. S. Right. Although we could communicate with their subconscious if need be, but it is not as clear a communication. D. Is there anyone else there that is going to be important in your life when you return to Earth? S. Yes. There is the one with whom I am karmically linked to be soulmate with. He is here. He will be returning back to Earth only shortly before I will. And there is one here that is fixing to leave fairly quickly. He is to be my grandfather and he must go back before my mother can go back. His stay on the earthly plane will just barely overlap with mine, but it will be enough to make a deep impression on my life. And this impression will affect me the rest of my earthly stay. He is a very karmatically advanced spirit. It is cloudy when we look ahead, but if things go the way we are working them out here and now, then that's the way it will happen. I will need to keep in mind to be patient and go by my inner feelings and conversations with a spirit, not by what I will be taught as a child. I can see very clearly that what I will be taught as a child will not apply when I am an adult. D. That is where your free will comes in. You are supposed to think for yourself. S. Yes, I will need to go through some transitions that will be difficult for me. My guide will help. D. Then even small things are all worked out before you come back. S. We try to work them out. We discuss how we are going to interact with each other. We have our free will on such things from the physical viewpoint when we get there. But if we work out these things ahead of time, we are more apt to be open to our spiritual guides as they try to guide us through. It is a way of not being quite so haphazard about working out karma. D. Otherwise it is just hit and miss, so to speak. S. Right. However, it all balances out in the end. Another scene. S. I am speaking with my spirit friend. The one who will be my spirit guide when I incarnate again. D. Can you see him? S. Yes. The appearance he has is that of a mature man in his late 40s. The signs of age that he wears are not due to his condition but to personal choice for the mental reactions that he wants from others. He has black hair that is graying at the temples and a well-turned mustache and beard. He looks like a British doctor from the turn of the century. And he is dressed in an old-fashioned three-piece suit, very distinguished looking, with black polished shoes. That is just the image he's maintaining today. We are in a place that looks like a man's study. There is a hardwood floor with an oriental carpet and a leather-topped desk. Leather upholstered chairs and shelves of books all the way to the ceiling, and a fireplace. He has pince-nez wire-rimmed glasses. And he is very wise. D. I guess I have always thought of the guides wearing white robes. Planning and preparation 185s. No, not always. It is a matter of personal choice. And he is wanting to project an image towards me. The feeling of being like a father protector or an uncle or someone who has my welfare in mind and wants to help and protect me. He knows that I am more comfortable with someone who looks like an ordinary human being rather than someone wrapped in white flowing robes. I would be more apt to feel an affinity with him. He has warm brown eyes and he is very kind. D. But is this only the way you see things, or is it the way other people see it? S. He and I are the only two in this study. This is not part of the house. It is just an image surrounding us to set a certain atmosphere. And so, were one to see it from the outside, they would merely see a large piece of ectoplasm. It would look rather like a blob of mist. But they would know from the psychic feeling emanating from it that it was an ectoplasmic construct being used for a specific purpose. And they would also be able to realize that we were within this construct of ectoplasm. D. What are you speaking with your guide about? S. During this discussion with you, he has been helping me organize information in a way that you could comprehend it with this language. But before this, we were talking on communicating, I should say, about how I can help myself with my karma on the plane of incarnation. D. When you come back the next time. S. Yes. It is hard to describe in your language what he is saying so that you'll know what he means. But I understand what he is saying. D. But at another time when you meet him, you might be in other surroundings or he may appear differently? S. No. Most of the time when we get together, he appears like this, or rather in his face he is like this. Sometimes he is dressed differently. Sometimes he has more or less gray in his hair. But I usually identify him with a certain psychic feeling rather than with a particular visual appearance. D. Sometimes it helps to have a picture in your mind of what he looks like. S. Yes, that will help me when I am down on the plane of incarnation. But it also helps to be familiar with the psychic I-86 conversations with a spirit feeling so that I can be aware that he is nearby helping me, even though I have not specifically visualized him at the time. When this subject awakened and I told her about the session, she said the description of the room and the man sounded like recurring dreams she had had all during her life. I suggested it would be useful if she could visualize the man and the room when she wished to talk to her guide and ask him for advice. Karma S. I am looking at karmic connections. D. Can you explain what you mean? S. Through the cycle of lives, certain connections between certain groups of people appear again and again in the various permutations. For example, in one life a person might be your mate, in another life one of your parents, and in another life a child or a good friend. These connections reappear in various lifetimes and are sometimes strengthened and sometimes weakened, but they are always growing. Then even dually, when we all reach the ultimate, the source, the connections have developed to the point that, if the desire is there, we can form an entity greater than ourselves, with all of us being part of it. D. I have heard a great deal about karma. Would you be able to give a definition of it from your point of view? S. It is so all-encompassing and complex, I would not be able to do it justice. I doubt if I could give you a good definition in your language or even mine. Karma, I've spoken before of the different universes and how they intertwine and react to each other. The energy from each individual life is like a universe in itself, and the way it intertwines and reacts to all the other energy in your universe, particularly the energies put out by other life forms, weaves the complex tapestry that we call karma. D. I can tell you some of the definitions I have heard and you can tell me if they fit or not. I have heard that karma is the planning and preparation law of balance, the law of cause and effect. If you did something bad or if you hurt someone in another life, you had to pay it back at some time. But I have also heard it can deal with good things. S. Yes, that is the way it is. The law of cause and effect is one of the basic laws in effect everywhere, regardless of which universe you're in. This law is one of the underlying principles of karma that supports the entire structure. And karma applies to how the different energies interact with each other, sometimes being cause and sometimes being effect, in a complex combination of moves. This is what builds karma. And anything, any action initiated can be labeled as cause, and anything that happens as a result of that can be effect. The action that results can also be called cause for other effects. It is all interlocking. It would be like having a sphere made out of chain links and they are all interlinked with each other. Every chain link is interlinked with every other chain link within the sphere. You could use this analogy to picture cause and effect and how they are all connected. That is the way karma is linked with all of the life energies. D. I have heard it is called one of the universal laws because there is no way you can escape from the karma, you have to pay it back. S. It is being worked out all the time. Just the act of breathing works out karma. Regardless of what you do, you are always working out past karma and creating future karma. This is the cycle of life. D. Isn't there any way to get away from creating future karma? S. The creating of future karma is what causes the universe to go on. Your future karma does not have to be bad karma. As you are working out past karma and do the best you can in your present life, the future karma that you are creating will be good karma and it will have good effects on your future life. And you will be able to continue and improve your future lives until you reach the ultimate. D. There are many people that say they just want to get it all over with. They want to pay off all their debts and not create any more. I88 Conversations with a Spirit S. When you reach the higher levels of karma, you no longer have to go through physical lifetimes to work it out. You can do it on the spiritual plane and still be working towards the ultimate. And even when you reach the ultimate, your karma will be influencing and including other universes and the working out of the complex tapestry of the universes. It is not to be considered a prison. It is just a natural cycle that you can grow and develop through to become your ultimate self. D. Many people say they just don't want to have to come back and do it again. S. They are still immature. They have much growing to do in their grand cycle. D. I think most of the time people think of karma as, if they have hurt someone in the past, then they have to pay for it now. S. That is an immature view. That is only an aspect of it. To liken it to your life cycle, when you are a child, you think of punishment as always being bad because you did something you were not supposed to do. Later you realize it was helping to teach you what you should do to be able to survive and live well. Later on, when things good or bad happen to you, you realize it is because of a mistake that you have made in the past and you are now living through the consequences of your mistake, or because it is a mistake someone else has made. Then when you live further on and you make fewer mistakes, your life settles down into a comfortable pattern. These people who speak of karma as relating to something bad they have done in the past, are at the stage where they are looking at it as punishment. They should be looking at it as a teaching tool to help them to learn to grow and become better. They are still young in their cycles of lives. D. Sometimes it does look complicated. For instance, if someone has lived a good life and then they die in a very violent manner, no one can understand why such a good person has to die that way. Things like that seem so unjust. S. Sometimes before someone comes down for another cycle of life, they will volunteer to go through something that seems to be out of proportion to the life that they will lead. Because they're going through that willingly helps to work out a major planning and preparation 189 portion of karma that would take many lifetimes to work out otherwise. It is not because they are being punished for any one particular thing they have done. It is just that they felt they were ready to work out a large portion in a condensed form. D. But it does affect the lives of the other people they are associated with when something like that happens. S. That is true. But the other people can use it as a growing experience and gain wisdom. D. That is what I have been told. If you learn anything from an experience, then it is worthwhile. S. That is true. D. You said you were looking at the cycles of karma. Does this have to do with your own life or what? S. Yes. I was looking at the connections that appear to be consistent in my life cycles. And it appears that they will be consistent in future life cycles, up to what you would call the present time and into the future. D. You mean people you have been associated with and you will continue to be associated with in the future? S. Yes. They will be brought together in her present lifetime to work on some karmic things. They asked to be together again in this lifetime and it was granted. D. Then you are just looking at the patterns to observe them. There is nothing you can really do to influence them, is there? S. Do you mean in a positive direction? D. Well, hopefully in a positive direction. We don't want a negative direction if we can help it. S. I cannot influence the karma in past lifetimes because that has already come to pass. In the present lifetime, perhaps I can give it a nudge here and there. I don't know if it would have any definite effect, but it would not harm anything. I could perhaps plant some thoughts in her subconscious to affect her future lifetimes and they would blossom in the future. Each life influences all the others. I regressed the subject to a period between lives and found her sitting in on a council meeting. The surroundings were ethereal, majestically beautiful and obviously located on a higher plane. S. If you were to look at it with physical eyes, it would appear that where we are gathered is suspended in midair, but it is really not. It is supported by an energy field that you cannot perceive with the eyes of your level. The energy field is a beautiful deep violet color and it surrounds all of us. There are not really any definite walls or ceilings, everything is just this deep violet and gold. And suspended in the center of this energy field is a council chamber, I suppose you would call it. There are fluted golden columns all around the sides. They really don't serve any purpose except as points of beauty, although they can also be used for focusing power. The way they are arranged, they are all evenly spaced to where the whole structure could be used as a power generator, but they are not essential for this. There are golden draperies behind these. And it is very beautiful, the gold against the violet. The furniture we are sitting on is made out of gold but has a wood grain. It is as if a tree grew that was solid gold and the furniture was made from it. It is very beautiful. D. Are you around a table of some kind or what? S. No, we are around the edges of this council chamber. There are about four or five staggered rows of chairs going up, so that the people behind can see over the heads of the people. The general council in front. They are not really chairs. It's tiers, smooth stairs going around like an amphitheater. And they surround this empty space in the center. If someone wants to come for warden speak or present something, they can do it there where all can see. It is like an oval courtroom framed by gold columns and gold drapes, with the tiers going up around and leaving an open space where there is a podium. But it is fancier than just a regular podium. It is like something ornate made out of wood, except that it is really made out of gold. It's there in case one needs to present something. For example, from the podium could be projected what you could call holograms. D. What would be the purpose of that? S. It depends on what's being discussed and what is needed to be presented. We generally come here to discuss the influence we have had on Earth and the influence we will be having in the future, and how it fits in with the grand plan of things. The things presented there in the clear space are things demonstrating the overall pattern in this particular universe, and how our karmas have interacted with this pattern and what path we need to continue to follow in order to eventually attain enlightenment. The form that we're in, we can float if we want. We don't have to sit down, but most of us are, just because it creates a more comfortable atmosphere. D. What form are you in? S. I see spiritual entities looking like white lights. It would be like miniature suns of various shapes and colors, kind of glowing out from the center. It is like having a ball of energy that is sending out rays of light. And as the light goes out from the center, it has hints of other colors within the white. It is like an aurora or an opal, except that when you see an opal, it is basically one color. With these entities, you see rays of other colors that seem to indicate how they feel, the mood they're in, what they are thinking and how developed they are. D. I was thinking the light was in the form of a person, but it is like a ball. S. It is like looking at the sun. You don't really see a definite outline because it is too bright. But you know that there is conversations with the spirit as center of energy there, and you see all this energy going out in rays. D. Pulsating? S. It is a steady flow. D. Radiating. S. That is a good word, radiating from a common center. And each is suspended in a particular position on these tiers. Everyone is aware of themselves or self-aware, the way you and I are self-aware. It is just that they perceive on a higher level than you can perceive. And their position on these tiers is determined by some sort of energy. They are suspended in mid-air, and it depends on how their energy interacts with the energy of the surroundings. These tiers radiate energy in some sort of pattern, and it is the equivalent of sitting down in a chair. They are supporting themselves on this cushion of energy as they interact with these tiers. D. You said this was on a higher plane. S. Yes. All of us here are in between lives now, and we have been striving to raise our karma, so to speak. See chapter I-2. We have reached this level where, when we are not directly involved with a life, we can go to this higher plane to plan our future path. And to plan ways of helping others who have not advanced as far as we have yet, just as there are those who are more advanced helping us. And we all help each other. Everything is interrelated like that. D. You mean this is a more advanced place than other people have reached, but there are still other planes that are higher than you. S. Right. The highest plane of all is when you attain total enlightenment. We have not attained that yet. But we are working at it, and we have been assured that we are making good progress. That is why we are trusted with helping others less advanced than we are. D. Is it like being a guide? S. Well, when we are in between lives like this, time does not apply here like it does on the earthly plane. And people who are directly involved with the life on the earthly plane sometimes need help. We can help them from this plane without a great expenditure of energy because we are on a higher plane. I suppose you could say it is something like guides. In the General Council I-93 D, S, D, S, D, S, is rather like having a big brother or sister helping you out occasionally. Also, others who are in between lives right now, but not as advanced as we are, will often need help planning for future lives so as to continue progressing their karma. We give them advice and suggestions from our experiences, and then they can make their own decisions just as the ones who are on higher plans do for us. They tell us what they have done to attain their level of karma and whether these things would apply to our own karma while striving to attain higher goals. Then if you had questions you could not answer, you would ask the ones on the other level.